Welcome back to Beholder to No One, a TTRPG podcast. Today, we're going to talk about patience in TTRPGs, which patience is not really my forte personally in a lot of aspects. It is in some aspects, but we're going to talk about that a little bit. And I'm here with Matt, our wonderful editor.
Hello. Hey, how is everybody doing? Oh, man.
I'm doing great.
Yeah, so when you're a doctor and you have many patients, it's going to be really important to make sure you don't leave them too long in the waiting room.
Yeah, it's very important. Also, you can't give any confidential information out. It's HIPAA violation.
Yeah.
And that's HIPAA, not HIPPA. It's not HIPPO. It's HIPAA, double A.
Yes, and then each one has to make sure that they wait their turn to roll in combat.
Yes. Yep. 100% agree. Yep. The doctor is the final boss battle.
Mm-hmm.
No, insurance companies are the final boss battle. The doctor is like the mid boss battle.
Mm-hmm. And Big Pharma has been pulling the strings the entire time.
Obviously. But I think it's a fun fact because it annoyed me. My dentist's office spelled HIPAA wrong on like all the papers. And I pointed it out to them because I had to, because my brain, and they never fixed it. And I stopped going to that dentist because I'm like, if you don't even know how to spell HIPAA and you're, no, I can't. Anyway, but we're not talking about that type of patient, talking about patients with a CE.
Yeah, I learned it pretty quick in my D&D career. I mean, it took me still quite a while to very much get used to the idea of being patient. Starting off as a sort of forever DM, when I first started playing, it was very much this experience of wanting to interact with everything, touch everything, not really give other players a chance to really go about and do their thing. And I mean, of course, it wouldn't be like I would want to interrupt other players and things like that, but it would always be, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. And just interact and just do everything.
Yeah. I have a habit of also being like that, where I want to, like, what about this? Can we do this? Can I do this? Can I do a perception check? Can I make an insight check? I don't trust them. And then I don't give other people the chance to step in. So I have had to start making myself not speak first and wait for somebody else, especially if I think I've been talking a little too much, which I tend to do. I will stop talking and be like, no, go ahead. I want to give you a chance to see if you, like, I want to give you your character a chance. And it's so fucking hard sometimes, especially when you, like, I think the hardest part is when you know what the right thing to do is out of character, but in character, you're trying not to influence the game and you want somebody else to try to make the decision. So, for example, there was a game that I helped my friend create, and there was a scene where I knew something had yellow mold on it, out of character. In character, I didn't know that. I was trying so hard to, like, just act normal and just, like, oh, there's these really cool things down here. There's these tapestries of weird things. Do I recognize the things? And, like, trying not to mention the mold, but also trying not to be, like, suspicious of anything. Even though I was super suspicious because I knew that something was bad. And then, like, I had to, like, stop myself from being like, oh, no, touch it. Don't touch it. Nope, I didn't say it. I didn't say anything. I was shocked about it.
See, if that was me in character, I would just be like, all right, let's just do it and have my character be a little stupid and get themselves into trouble.
This particular character was too intelligent for that.
That desire to be very, like, just want to interact with everything and do everything can be very, very helpful when maybe a lot of people and a lot of other players at the table are very shy, and it can help, you know, pull people into the game, kind of set an example, and really be the one to step into a role play space and make a lot of other people more comfortable. But when everybody is trying to be in it and everybody's trying to do their thing, it can be maybe a little bit overbearing. I don't think that I have
ever sat at a table though where somebody has been very much me.
I have.
And usually if that's the case, I'll try to make them the DM. In my experience, I think the worst player I have had to deal with that was probably myself. And I solved that by making me the DM, because then I got to talk 90% of the time and control everything rather than being the player who wanted to control everything.
Yeah, I played with a person who I'd mentioned before on the show who was very much a me focused character. I am the main character of the story. We are not a team. I am the main person. And if we did anything that was outside of what he wanted to do, he would sneak off with his rogue self and go do it on his own just to prove that he could. And at first, it would make us force us to go like follow him to go figure out what was happening to keep make sure he was safe. Eventually, we just stopped caring, and I purposely was probably the most petty about it because I was getting really annoyed that he was trying to control what all the other characters did and tell them what not to do with their characters when they try to do anything. So when he snuck off, I said, "Who wants to get ice cream?" We would go get ice cream for 20 minutes instead of going after him. He just had to wait for us because he snuck off. One time I did a shopping. I was like, "Who wants to go shopping?" For an hour. He was very mad. I was like, "Well, don't sneak off then. We have an important mission." It's like, it's a game. I know. We all know. Like, honestly, we probably would have just gone if you waited. But now because you snuck off, we just went to go shopping instead because we are assuming you're gone and we're going to wait for you to get back.
Yeah, it's the tough thing, because everybody's there to really have fun. And 9 times out of 10, all of the other people at the table also understand that, and they're going to try to have fun. They might even be worried, oh, like, hey, I wasn't trying to make things about me. And it's like, no, everybody was patient and doing a good job, but you will still find people like that. I think the worst that I was, or when I more so realized my issue when I was a player, was I was playing a game in which I had a great character who was this Kenku who would mimic other people and do a whole bunch of things on their own. And while I wrote a whole backstory for them that was definitely pages long, I knew that was never really going to get used or said very much, because they, again, are a Kenku. And despite being a character who really can't think originally and trying to roleplay my best, I was still very much this character who ended up leading the party, which wasn't something that I wanted and realized until near the end of the session. And I was like, oh, I wasn't really playing that the way that I wanted to. I was kind of letting my own impatience get in the way and wanting to just do everything, lead everything, try to be the problem solver in every situation. And try to just do everything rather than taking the moment, maybe taking a step back, or maybe helping another player in order to lead them to their own solution.
So I feel like you just summed me up in reality a little bit there with the take control and be in charge of everything. Part. I have more of an issue with that in out of game than I do in game, though in game I do tend to play face characters more because they tend to be the leaders. And I think it's because like in a lot, not all the games, but in quite a few of the games that I've played in, long term at least, they have been with people who are more jokey and jokester and don't pay attention as much or like get off topic or are drinking while we're playing, which is fine, but sometimes they drink a little too much and it's hard to keep them focused on the game. So like somebody needs to keep us all on track. But there have been games that I played where I purposely did not take notes because my character wouldn't remember shit anyway. And I just was more of the Russian type of character, but like she grew as she became better as she grew as a player or as a character, and would start to like ask like, "Can I rush in and punch it? No, I have to. Oh fuck, god damn it! Why do I have to wait? That's so boring." But she would. She would wait in, wait her turn to go do something. But at the beginning, she was very much a rush in and punch first, ask questions later type of character. And then when I play all my charisma characters, they're just like, I'm in charge here. What you gonna do about it?
It's hard when you have that character who is built to do one very specific thing, and you're excited to do that thing, and you can't be doing it a lot of the time. And even if that situation comes up, it might even be better to even try to put another character forward. Even if you are the charismatic character, you might have a, or it might even make for a funnier scene of even trying to help the not as charismatic character, you know, try to interact with that NPC or things like that. I actually wanted to share a story where the first time that I played any D&D or any tabletop stuff was, I was trying to get a lot of friends into it at the time. And we all sat down for a session zero and we all made our characters, and that took a whole night in itself. Because by the first session, which then an extra person showed up and I literally just handed them a character sheet. Including myself, there was 11 of us.
Oh, geez, that's a lot.
And while I had a whole encounter planned with a lot of other things, it was literally just, you are all just hanging out in a town and some goblins attack. And the fight took the entire night. And as a DM, I learned very quickly, oh, I have to keep these people's attention because they are going to be on their phones doing their own thing on their, you know, not paying attention. They're going to start stacking their dice. They're going to start talking amongst each other, especially when dealing with 10 players that you're not using a map. You're trying to do theater of the mind and you're trying to keep it all together at the same time. And of course, there were some players where I was able to keep their attention and there were others where I failed to, and they were on their phones and they were doing their own thing, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It was just a lot of them were there to kind of just do their thing and get out. And of course, as I went on with that group, we eventually found some people would hang around, some people didn't, some people made sessions and some people didn't, but it was kind of a less of a campaign and more a series of one-shots set in the same world, so I was able to just use whoever showed up each night.
Yeah.
But that first experience of, oh, these players are going to have to wait, especially in combat when there are so many other players, I am not only going to have to really try to keep their attention, but I'm going to have to be able to carry their patience and keep them just until like the next round so that you don't have that same question of, wait, what happened? What's going on?
Yeah, the dreaded question. I have played with, I DM'd a game of 14 people once.
Oh my gosh.
It was a nightmare. But it was a learning experience for me because I'm that person that has anxiety and doesn't like to talk to new people when I first meet them. So I knew what it felt like to be anxious and not understanding how to go up to a table and say, hey, can I join you guys? And then what it felt like to say, be told no. So I didn't want that feeling to be given to anybody else. So whenever anybody asked, hey, can I join your table? I would say yes. And that became a problem very quickly because trying to, even without battle, just trying to give each person their time to shine, splitting 3 hours between 14 people is not a lot of time to give them to actually interact with each other and like just do their own thing or have their own little scenes. So now I try to limit it to 7 at the most.
Mm-hmm.
And even that sometimes can feel like a lot. But if the party's all together, it's not as big of a deal. It's when the party is separating. So the one group of the paid game I do on Sundays had 7 people in it at one point. And each person would like go off and do their own thing. So I'd have to do each person's thing. And then once they join forces, I'm like, okay. Like, go ahead and role play what you're going to do for the night. And they wouldn't need me for a little bit. So that they would just role play for like 20 plus minutes, and I was perfectly fine with this. I'm like, go for it, enjoy, have fun. And then I would randomly come in as an NPC every once in a while and interact with them, like, do you want more beer? Or, oh, hey, this girl that you've been flirting with comes into the bar and stuff like that. And that's what I've decided I prefer, because it gives enough time for everybody. Everybody can do their own thing separately if they want, but you have to make sure that you give every person their same amount of time.
Yeah.
And not just like, okay, you're just making one roll, cool, bye.
Yeah, it's a tough balancing act.
Very tough balance.
I have found, and I am surprised that it's not as common. It might just be because it is just fun to just have a lot of players at the table. But I have been taking, if one of my players for my recorded game for Table Party will have an idea for a character, and I'll be like, okay, let's literally just sit down and do a one-on-one D&D game. You have my full attention, I have your full attention. And there is now no waiting on other people. And we are having fun with ourselves. And that's what she said. And you're sitting down and you're playing together, and we've recorded and done some like that, and I have found that those have been so much fun, especially if you have a player who has a character that they really want to explore and they really want to dive into, but you don't want to take the time to do a very long campaign with a lot of different people. Of course, nothing does beat just the chaos and the fun of sitting down with a whole group of people and playing. But when you really want that attention from the DM and you want that attention on your character, I have found that so helpful for just doing that with somebody.
I've had a couple of those moments, but usually they're written out instead of through a conversation, just because it's easier to find the time to do it. But a perfect example, in the Wednesday game for Tower of Souls, I need to get better at it because I think I skipped the last two that did this. But whenever someone gets pulled by Malor to go do a quest for him, I started with and wanted to continue doing this, but I would get with the person and just like message out saying, hey, let's just play this out really quick to see how it goes. And I would write out the description of what they see when they get there, and like, this is who they're forced to go work with, and this is the battle that lays ahead of you. And it was like a little, I used Accelerated Combat by Connie Chang for it, but I would make them roll the dice for that, and then we would just role play out what happened and if they learned anything. And then that also helped me get them experience points so that they could be caught up with the rest of the players equivalently if we were doing experience points and not like milestones. But
yeah,
and I really enjoyed it the first time I did it, and then I think I did it the second time, and I think the third and fourth one I didn't do it because I just, my schedule got so busy. But I really enjoyed doing that, and I also really enjoy having like little, I will be that person, especially when I'm doing online games, I will be still DMing the rest of the group, and one person's like, hey, they're messaging me privately, hey, I sneak off to do blah blah blah, and I'm like, okay, roll me a stealth check, and I'm like DMing the side thing as well while I'm talking to the other people and running technically two things at once, but it's happening at the same time.
Yeah,
it's a little challenging when it's more than just I want to do this, okay, roll this, and it's like actually requires role play. But it's a lot of fun to have those secret things going on that the players don't notice, and then if it's not mentioned out loud, it'll come out later in the scene or something like that. So for example, a player will say, I want to sneak and try to steal the XYZ, or try to sneak and place this on the donkey. And it's not hurtful to anybody, and it's not like stealing from anybody, that's not going to be given back to them. And I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. And you roll stealth check and they succeeded. And then like 5 minutes later, like, well, somebody must have something to say, because look what your donkey's wearing. And then the guy turns around like, how the fuck did that get on my donkey? And it's just like a funny moment type of thing.
No, it is.
Or they'll to go watch somebody eavesdrop on the conversation, but I give people opportunities to catch that.
And I find it really fun, especially to be talking to the DM on the side, because then sometimes I think we end up as players very much expecting everything out of the DM's mouth is coming from the DM, and for them to be saying like this unexpected thing you didn't notice, it's like, oh shit, what was that? But it's like, oh, it's just one of the other players messing around, rather than one of the other players saying out of character, hey, I did this thing that you in character don't notice.
Yeah, exactly. Because then you also risk higher metagame knowledge and people are like, oh, well, I want to roll insight, or I want to roll, like, you have no reason to do that. You didn't see them do it. And you get like a mini argument sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also times where I will have private conversations with them and I'll message someone. And I think I've done this to you a couple times, but I'll say, hey, do you, or what's the name of this person? Is it cool if this happens? Like, I'll like ask them a question if it's in the middle of the game, because I just had like a random idea and I don't want to like assume backstory, the content of the storyline that people wanted. Like, if there's a specific storyline that somebody wants. So I will ask, like, hey, is it cool if you have blah, blah, blah? Or, hey, what's your mom's name? No reason. Just, what's your character's mom's name? And then I'll use it in the game, and the people may not know what the reason for it is. So, for example, I know I asked you, or I think I told you, hey, just so you know, this person that's really important to your character had this particular object on her, and you have one, and this is what it looks like. I didn't give you more explanation than that. And then I did that because I found a way to connect you with the other person in the story who had the same object. And it just added to the story a little bit more, because now you have this connection when they don't know why they have the connection and you know why you have that connection. And it was just something that was like, didn't take away from your story in any way, but added to the overall story.
Completely. I think that working behind the scenes like that and being able to make those connections, especially between players, is just so satisfying also in a way too. I've very recently had an experience as a DM where my players not that they have been like alien to D&D, but I've kind of been their DM to pull them into D&D, or even like we've been playing Monster of the Week on like my channel and everything. And we did a whole session where the players had to just kind of discuss among themselves and not just plan, but each one of them was being taken aside to be interrogated by a guest I had come onto the show. And so as a DM, it was this weird moment of going from talking all of the time and doing everything to now sitting back and just watching these players who maybe weren't the most comfortable with role-playing at the beginning of my campaign to now role-playing their characters and interacting with one another. And because it's recorded, even though I would be in the interrogation, I would still then go back and edit and hear them talking amongst themselves in the waiting room, amongst, like, in character, what they're planning to do, what they want to do. And I can't tell you how satisfying that was as a DM to now have my characters just take everything from the world that I have introduced them to. And even though they might not be, they're not out here trying to be, you know, they're not familiar with things like Critical Role, or maybe some of them are familiar with like the Adventure Zone, but they're not out here trying to be like these in-depth role players, but they have gotten more comfortable with it as time has gone on. But to get back onto that idea of patience too, that moment of sitting back as a DM and just kind of watching everything happen was so satisfying. And then kind of practicing that as a player too, of watching the other players around you and knowing when to interact and when to step forward and when to be a part of everything that is going on, but when to sit back and just watch the other players just work and be in their element and do their thing. And that's not just for scenes where you aren't there. That's for scenes where if your other player is now meeting their, like, long lost father they haven't seen in forever, it might not be the best time to do your little song and dance. It it might be their moment to role play and do their thing. And that's the really amazing thing, is your DM will find moments for you and will find moments for each of your players. They're always going to want to make sure that you and the other players are walking away from the game having had fun. And everybody wants to have those moments as their player. And those moments will come whether the DM has planned it, whether it be meeting that father, or whether not. And all of a sudden an NPC becomes a specific friend or an enemy, or has a certain relationship now with a certain PC that wasn't planned. And those moments are going to happen as long as you don't push and try to make every moment your moment. Those moments will still happen.
Yeah, I think another thing that should be mentioned with patience is patience with new players.
Yeah.
Especially if you are or have been playing. And I say this in a way that if someone's new, they're going to make mistakes, and let them make the mistakes. Let them learn from those mistakes. So if a character says, I want to do this, and that's not the most useful thing for them to do, let them do it. And then maybe afterwards explain, hey, in the future you could have done this, or hey, don't forget you could have raged beforehand and gotten that bonus. But let them make the mistake first and teach them after, so that they know, instead of just being like, oh no, you need to rage first so you don't, you'll get the extra plus two. Because maybe they wanted to do it that way, you don't know. But I used to get so mad at a particular duo who were at my table, and the one player was playing a barbarian, that's why I mentioned rage.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person, every time this person made a choice, they're like, oh no, you can't go, you can't rush in there, I'm going to shoot with a fireball in a minute. It's like, the barbarian doesn't know that. We didn't discuss this in character at all. So she can do whatever she wants. She has no reason to know that you're going to be doing anything. But it will ruin my plan. Well, then make a new plan. They rolled higher initiative. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, don't get mad at them when they have to re-ask questions. Because, again, there's a lot of information in any TTRPG. I've been playing 5th edition since... when did it come out? Pretty sure since it came out, whenever that is, I don't remember off the top of my head, but I've been playing D&D for almost 20 years now. State. 2014. So yeah, that makes sense. I've been playing 5th edition since about 2014, 2015. So that's 7-8 years under my belt as a player and a DM, and I still fuck up because there's so many rules. There's so many nuances. There's so many tiny things to remember, and you're not going to remember all of them, and then you add like weird magic items and weird combinations, and there's extra shit. The best thing you can do for a new player is walk through them with like walk them through it and explain, like, hey, this is what you do if you are raging and you're using the sword one-handed, this is what you do if you're raging using the sword two-handed. Like, make different things for them so they know exactly what to roll and what to add up. That's the easiest way I've found. But if they get confused, don't get mad at them.
Mm-hmm. And that patience comes not only with a new player, not only comes from if you are the DM, but it also comes if you are another player at the table. You know, mm-hmm. Everybody was the new player at one point. Be welcoming and be willing to help teach, but, you know, don't try to push and try to be like, actually, you should have done this. Like you said, let them make their mistakes. And then let them get there. And I think there's also a lot of hesitation with being scared to mess up and being scared to fuck mm-hmm. up. I think it's important that we fuck up. And that patience is yes. going to come with that patience, and that fuck upery is going to come with players, and that's going to also come with DMs, whether they are mm-hmm. new or whether they're not. And it's going to happen, but it's going to be a learning experience for both parties, and you have to be patient and let those fuck ups happen and not to beat anybody up about it. And sometimes it maybe is easier as a DM because you are the one in control, and you can kind of be like, well, it's my game, so I will change the rules a little bit and it'll be fine. And maybe as a player, you expect, oh, everybody's looking to me to to match all of the rules. But as long as you are trying, and you, even if you don't know the rules very well, most people are going to be patient and be able to help you through them. And you shouldn't be scared to fuck up if you want to try something, and if you want to do something, even if it is not as written.
Right, exactly. And some of my favorite characters are the fuck-ups of the group. Like, legitimately, like, it's not even the character fucking up, it's me fucking up, because I get, like, so caught up in the moment, and I'm like, I don't know what to do, I rush in and slam into them into the Doro. I broke into the Nine House. Fuck, I released everything. God damn it. Fix the situation. Hurry, fix the situation. And then, like, literally after, this is the Monster of the Week game, Weird Web, I'm in on Fridays, and the season one and half of season two are out right now on the podcast. And it's such a fun show because my character legitimately is the fuck up of the group. And usually I'm the one that's like this one that keeps everything under control. I have made so many mistakes in character that have caused so much fucking damage or harm or whatever that it's just, it's embarrassing sometimes, but it's like, but we love her. She can't not be a fuck up. It's how she is. Like, she tried to kill someone and accidentally hit her friend instead. She thought the best way to get someone to stop driving was to pull the emergency brake while they were going 55 on a highway. That was a great idea. We definitely did not roll twice and get stuck and injured very badly. Hello. Sorry for the interruption here, but I wanted to give you an advertisement for one of our friends in the tabletop community. Please give it a listen and go check them out.
Passengers, remain calm and please stay in your seats. We are experiencing pirate activity.
Oh, there's just something happening. What? Them. Them.
Oh, no.
At the outer edges of space, where union is but a whisper, humanity scrapes together a living amongst the stars. This is the story of four Lancers, talented pilots of mechanized chassis from all corners of the known universe, thrown together by circumstance and destiny, and credits. Follow Matcha, Moxie, Roadkill, and Silver, led by me, Reed, your game master, through the Lancer system, a mud and laser style anime mecha RPG. I hope they brought some printers with them, because this is Bring Your Own Mech, an actual play Lancer podcast, and batteries are not included. Follow my heading, and I'll see you there.
Now, back to the show.
Those fuck ups in character are always so fun. I especially, whether or not it is intentional as a player, where you just like, oh, this is the perfect plan, and then you just end up just fucking everything up. But it's also going to be the fuck ups that are out of character. Like in the Monster of the Week campaign I'm running, many, many sessions ago, while I was still getting used to it, I don't know why I had this moment where I just blanked and I couldn't think of what to do. And I, as the GM, rolled. And I remember afterwards just beating myself up about it, because I was like, why did I do that? The GM doesn't roll in Monster of the Week. It is up to the players. Let that power be in their hands. And I am ruining the experience, or I am fucking up the game. And I have been able to go back and at first try to justify it as, well, I'm the DM, I'll make the rules, I'll, you know, it is my game. But more so, it was a learning experience. And
yeah,
just getting used to that kind of thing. Or, you know, yeah, or you get the people who are very familiar with D&D, and then, you know, they jump into a different game, like, so can I make a perception check or something like that?
Yeah.
And sometimes it can sometimes be a little bit weird and a little bit awkward to have to give your DM patience, especially because I think there are a lot of expectations that come to the DM. But I think that's where a lot of people get very nervous about wanting to ever DM, is because, oh, everybody's going to be looking to me to have all of the answers and have everything ready and have everything, you know, perfect. And while I don't even think that it is a matter of whether or not they can plan a session or improvise a session or even just, you know, role play a session, I think that it is that the pressure that they think that is going to come down on the DM if they mess something up, you know, the DM's word is like the word of God. So if I say something wrong or I fuck something up, then ruin everyone's fun.
Here's something to add to that, though. No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. That was exactly what I was getting to. You did not. And you should let everybody and everybody should have a little bit more patience with the DM. The DM isn't perfect, and the DM is going to make mistakes like every other player at the table.
I also think this is important to say, that you should have patience with yourself as a DM.
Yes.
Because I have changed games completely because I got into my own head and I didn't have that patience with myself, and I just assumed everybody was miserable because clearly I was overthinking things and my brain is like, oh, they're clearly not having fun because my brain is telling me that they're not having fun. And I mean, that also has to do with mental health issues, but that's besides the point. Like, be patient, be understanding. And if you go into a game where you've never DM'd before, just be honest about it up front. I just finished DMing season one finale of a Teens in Space show that will be released in the future. I did not know how to play Teens in Space before I started DMing. I played literally one game so I would understand the general basis of the rules. And then I ran and went and DM'd the game. It wasn't until like the finale that I actually looked up ship combat for the first fucking time. It was like, oh, you can add shit to this. Oh, this adds heat. Oh, we did not do that. Okay, well, he and I like wrote all the rules down that they would need because we were going to have a combat just so that they would have it ready. And we learned how to make things work. And then it was a learning curve for all of us because none of us had played Teens in Space before that. And it's a very different system. It's a based off the Kids on Bike system. And to the, like, we've played 6 sessions or 12 episodes, and I still am like, roll a notice or an fuck, there's not a perception check. Oh, God, what did I put it under? Smarts, roll a smarts check. Because they don't have, like, a perception or a notice type of check. And I'm like, why? And what would this go under if there was one? Because that should be a thing to, like, look around and see something. So I just added it because I thought it was important. But I've played so many games where I will say, can I roll an insight check on them? And it's not D&D. It's like, is there an equivalent of an insight check?
Yeah, what's this game's currency of looking around? What is this?
I don't trust them.
Yeah.
How do I figure out if I'm right or not? They're being suspicious. Or is it just Nikki being paranoid? Because she's always paranoid about characters that the DM introduces. Yeah. I literally played this. So this is Morning Blues, and this episode's releasing on the 17th. So it would have released a couple of weeks ago. So slight spoiler warning in case you haven't listened to episode 10 of the Morning Blues yet. But there was literally a moment where I was just having a nice date with my character. Just a beautiful, nice date. I was so fucking suspicious because I knew what I would have done as a DM the entire time. And I'm like, I'm paranoid. Can I roll an insight check? Is she telling the truth? Is this a trap? Is this actually the girl that I'm supposed to go on a date with? Or is it something else? Like, the entire time, I was just like super paranoid. And even said, I think I said out of character, I was like, I'm really paranoid about this guy. Something's going to go wrong. And it's because of things that I have said to the DM as suggestions for my character's story. So I'm just waiting for those things to drop. And I was also, the character was super fucking nervous, even though she has a charisma up the, like a high charisma. And I'm just like, you would not think she has a charisma of 17 with the way she's interacting right now. She's just gay panicking everywhere.
Gay panic.
It's like, I was just like, it's so much easier to talk to you in your head. This is fancy and I'm confused.
I think that one thing that I want to talk about too is I think that I was very guilty of is not being judgmental of other people and really like it just keeps coming back to patience. And this is why I wanted to talk about it too, because it took me a while to get, especially coming from like somebody who was very used to being a DM. And then I think I used to have a very high standard for how I wanted to DM. And in all of the time that it took before I could get friends together, before I could do anything with playing with people, it is sitting down and watching so many videos, how to DM, how to do this, running the game, Critical Role DM tips, how to do this, how to do that, and trying to do everything to be like the best DM possible. And then sitting down at a game where maybe somebody isn't as familiar with being the DM, or they are a first time DM, and seeing all of the things that maybe you have wired yourself to do and to focus on that they are not, or you know exactly, oh, they are railroading it and they're doing this and they're making these mistakes. And to have something that you have been studying or very familiar with, and then seeing somebody else struggle with it. I think the worst case was I was railroaded through a one shot, and this was a first time DM. And while now it is incredibly laughable that we were a bunch of orphans went missing, so we had to go talk to the police chief about getting a not temporary, but a like okay from them to investigate it. And some reason we ended up finding an orgy happening under the city, and
that escalated quickly.
Yeah, it did. And then finding out that the children were being taken by this like magical minotaur that would show up and then take the children. It made very little sense. And they somehow had this combination of railroading us through, like, we were like, no, let's just start investigating. And they're like, no, you have to go see the police chief and you have to get the okay from them. But then they also had these like bullet points on the side of random funny things to throw in to keep it interesting. But it just made the whole experience so strange. And what myself and the other players at the table, I think, did very wrong is we were like, what the fuck was that? And while, yeah, it was like very strange, I think we should have been a lot more supportive and a lot better friends and of as players to support and try to lead the DM to do better, or not try to force advice, but maybe give tips if they would like, but also be there so that they can gain more experience and be more patient with them, rather than just trying to be like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what are you doing? And being very judgmental like that. And that can happen too with maybe if there is a class that you're really familiar with. And you've always played Bard, and the Bard that you have been, that another player is playing as, never gives inspiration. Or like or maybe the Barbarian always forgets to rage. And let them make you, maybe they aren't mistakes, maybe they just don't want to, but if they are mistakes, let them make those mistakes. And as somebody too that I've kind of talked about how I don't get to play very often, that's why I've been really, really enjoying Awfully Queer Heroes, that I have been able to play and I've been able to do that with everybody. And I have found everybody there has been very patient, has been very willing to, let's take a step back, let people have their scenes. And where I have been having as much fun doing things as exploring the tower as I have been, let's just shop and do things. And nobody seems to mind if we take a whole half of an episode to have two characters talk while nobody else is there, because we are all very interested in what's going on.
Yeah, that's 100%.
And that has also even been a learning experience of how much fun it can be to just sit back and just watch the other players interact and watch that story unfold. Everybody, I think a lot of people want to be the instigator, and especially when they get really into D&D and they want to be the person who goes straightforward into everything and interact with everybody and do everything. But when there are other players at the table, it isn't just about you. It is about, well, it's about everybody. It's about teamwork, and it's about doing those things together.
Yeah, and that's what makes it ultimately the most fun, is when everybody is invested in the story. Yeah, even if it's not about them. And I've seen that with some of my paid games, because it was like people were legitimately just as amused and excited about silly things like the awkward date night that went on for like 10, 15 minutes, and they were okay with it, or they were okay with the wizard taking 15-ish minutes to plan out a spell and going to go buy the items and working on getting paid back for it from the school and building this magic item and all that stuff. And it's just, it adds to the story because they each get their own moment. And I love when people get invested in each other and not just themselves.
Yeah.
Because that's what makes the story more fun, because now you're not only seeing your own character story unfold, but you're seeing other people's stories unfold.
Yeah.
So now you're just consuming 4, 5, 6, 7 stories.
Yeah. It's a weird... Patience sucks, because it is a muscle that you have to practice, and it's something that you got to get used to doing, especially if you're going to have other players at the table. If there's something that maybe you really want to do with one, maybe two characters, you know, specifically for the story, I have done that for my recorded game. I will pull them aside and we'll do a little session where we check in on that character. I did that for my Monster of the Week game that I record, and I thought it would be so fun to do like a little one-on-one session with each player, just to check in on their doing and how they're feeling and what's going on with them, and you know, throw at them the NPCs that they've been interacting with the most, and or maybe pull in some family, things like that, that they haven't really interacted with, or drop some plot bombs that are only really supposed to really be with them, and really give them their moments to be. And if that's what you have planned, you want to really focus on one person, and you want to have them experience that, it's okay to plan that and do that and take the steps to step away. But otherwise, I think that really taking the time to give everybody a moment and do what you're doing is really important. I mean, I was talking about that Kenku character that I had played earlier, where they went from this character who was this, you know, little mimic who would make silly little noises and be a bit childish and just follow people around. I found that even though I wanted to be this instigator and do everything, that they worked much better as an NPC in order to follow the players, let them be the ones to make the choices and be that kind of character. A little off topic, I can't tell you how many characters I have made and be like, ooh, I want to play this character, and then realized they probably work a little bit better as an NPC rather than character. And sometimes it is vice versa, but I find it a little bit easier to work the other way around and make them NPCs. And that's the forever DM secret, is you take all your character ideas and you just make them your NPCs. But
that's secret.
That's my secret. I always have more characters.
There's always characters. You'll never know how many there truly are.
You know what the ultimate patience in tabletop games is? It's planning your next session.
Oh, I'm so bad at that. See, or you guys, you can do this. You can do this crazy thing called don't plan at all. Mm-hmm. And it sometimes works.
Results may vary, and success.
It sometimes, or it always, most of the time works.
And success rate decreases by a certain percentile, depending on if you add more players to that game, and also how many players you could do without that game.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. But yeah, so you know,
if you wanna be my lover, gotta get with my man.
That song makes no sense to me, but also yes. Like I get it. I loved that song when I was a kid, but now, like, as an adult, I'm like, what do you mean you gotta get with my friends? I don't want you with my friends. It sounds like
It means like you gotta be cool with my friends. Although what is the
I know. But words.
Oh, but there's still plenty, like what's the with the ziggy ziggy ah?
Apparently
that was like behind the scenes joke of like what they would call like a cigar. I really, really, really wanted Zigga Zigga Ah.
I did not know that. I'm going to have to add Spice Girls to the description of this show now. Just because, like, obviously.
Oh my god. Just because now we're going on like tangents. So that one-on-one game that I've been doing with one of my players that we've been recording, we did one last year where we just focused on them. They were this were-tiger rogue that would turn into a were-tiger on full moons and things like that. And we explored that character, and then we decided to return to that character a year later and do another one shot, and I think that's going to be a returning theme with us, and we're going to keep doing that. And they came across this village that had this story about these four incredibly brave, like, were-tiger women that were these warriors and saved them from a bunch of vampires and all of these things. And they had statues made in their honor, and they would turn into these cheetah-like figures. And the player didn't realize it until, and these were introduced probably like a third of the way into the session, and the player didn't realize it until the very end when I revealed it. But the four statues and the names of the four cheetah warriors were references to the cheetah girls.
Mm-hmm.
No, I felt so happy and so proud that I could just honor the cheetah girls.
I mean, the cheetah girls were awesome.
I did only see the second movie pretty recently, and honestly, it holds up very well.
I don't like to rewatch movies, but yes, I'm sure it would have. But that's a me thing. It's just a weird me thing. I don't like movies, though. Honestly, like I will sit and watch some movies, but even though I can sit at my computer all day because I can do multiple things at my computer, it doesn't feel like I'm just sitting there. If I'm watching a movie, I can only focus on the movie.
I usually don't rewatch movies, which I think is because my memory for real life will be not very good. But then if it's something like a tabletop game or something like a movie, I can tell you exactly what happened. I can tell you what the scene order was. I could tell you what the characters were doing. Like, I can't tell you what my conversation was yesterday with whoever at work, but I can tell you exactly the order of scenes and the order of events in the movie Shrek. Like, it's not...
It's hilarious.
Bonus points if it's animated, then I'm very much more absorbing it. But I could tell you the exact plot and everything that has happened in Table Party or Awfully Queer Heroes and what's been going on, even though that's maybe, you know, Awfully Queer Heroes has been going on for months, or something like Table Party has been going on for almost 2 years, and I'll be like, oh, this is exactly what the plot is and the sequence of events. It's like, well, what do you remember what you were doing a year ago? No, not at all.
I can't remember, like, literally I'll just be chatting with someone and they're like, oh, what did you have for, did you eat dinner last night? And I'm like, did I?
Did I have dinner?
I'm pretty sure you did. Maybe. Pretty sure. Yeah. This morning it was funny. I woke up and I was talking to somebody and I, I was trying, or it was yesterday. I was trying to figure out, like, why did I go to bed at 4 a.m? I couldn't fucking remember why. And I was like, I mean, I remember what I did for, like, the last hour, but what did I do for, like, the game ended at 1, and there's, like, 2 hours in between that, which was actually technically 1 hour because it was daylight savings time. But I was like, there's an hour in between that, and I don't know what I did. I had to look at my Google history to see I did TikTok. I was on TikTok for like an hour, and I just didn't remember that I went on TikTok last night, nor did I remember it was an hour. And it just was so, I was so fucking confused. I'm like, what the fuck did I do?
I just recently moved, and I'm now in a different time zone, and I'm now 3 hours back. And my TV, I noticed last night, was 4 hours back. I was like, what? Wait, no. And it made me question my math for a good 10 minutes. And I had no idea that the clocks went back.
Yeah, I honestly didn't realize until someone had said something about how the time between UK and the US was different. And I'm like, why? And I was like, when does our daylight savings time happen? Thinking it was because theirs changed and it was because ours changed. I'm like, why does the people in the UK remember these things and I don't? Like, I live here. I have no fucking clue what the hell is happening. That's okay.
But yeah, oh, also patience. If there's a tabletop show that you like Table Party, and they haven't uploaded in a long time, have some patience. Maybe they moved recently and they haven't had a lot of time to do a lot.
I feel like that one is it's hitting a little close to home there.
A little bit. But, you know, that as a general statement, you know?
You should definitely have patience with everybody about what they are doing and how they are doing it, because we are busy and life happens. And, like, honestly, you don't need to not have patience with me because I don't have patience with me. So if it was me, just... I'm already beating myself up over it. Don't beat me up more.
I'm like, yeah. I think the last time I was on here, I was like, oh, I just started a new podcast, and it's this. And I made a few episodes, and I have not been able to do anything since because I've been so backed up with my own projects. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. You're doing great. That's all that matters. Even if you have to take care of yourself first. I will definitely be nice to everybody else, but when it comes to me... Like, how dare you?
And that is the ultimate lesson. Have patience with yourself, like we said.
Oh, and that's a great place to end. I don't want to dive into that part.
Oh, no, we're out of time. I guess we'll just have to...
How strange. Maybe a part 2, eventually, of patience with yourself. That will be done by not me.
So, on that note, Nikki, where can everybody find you?
That's not how this works, Matt.
Oh, sorry, hold on.
Matt, where can everybody find you?
You can find me as a part of Team Chaos Productions, where we do a whole bunch of different podcasts, but our tabletop one is called The Table Party, where we have an ongoing Monster of the Week campaign, as well as a bunch of different one-shots. Like, for example, I think the last thing we released was a holiday-themed one-shot. But there might be more by the time that this discussion comes out, but we will see. Otherwise, though, I know a lot of our early Monster of the Week campaign is a little bit rough, and I want to go back and re-edit, but I would say, like, the stuff that we're at now is definitely the level of quality as something like the Adventure Zone level of editing. And that has also been a fucking lesson in patience of learning how to do everything. Otherwise, you can find me over at Awfully Queer Heroes. And that has been an amazing experience. And we have a very lovely DM. And go check out Team Chaos Productions. We have a whole bunch of different strange podcasts that I'm sure you'll find something you like.
Who's this weird DM that you're mentioning? It's weird.
Ah, they're super cool. And they let me do all my dumb, silly spells.
I mean, I'm glad... You like them because it could be.
It's great.
They could be terrible and bad at their job and stuff, but if they're not, that's good.
No, it's great. They let me experience all the gay panic and roleplay all the gay panic. So
I mean, it's definitely a queer show, so there needs to be lots of gay panic.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for joining and having this suggestion for a topic. You all can find me on Beholder to No One on Twitter. That's Before Dawn on Twitter and Sound Control RPG on Twitter. So many places. You can also find me on Awfully Queer Heroes as the DM for Tower of the Souls, as well as the prior DM for Uncaged Anthology, which was phenomenal, if I do say so myself. Mostly because the players were chaotic as fuck, and the players are chaotic as fuck too in this game. It's pretty great. So you should definitely go check both of those things out. You can also find me this week as I open up my calendar. There may be more things because we are recording this about a month ahead of time, but this week you can definitely find me on 2000 Tales at 9 p.m. playing Weird Web Monster of the Week campaign, where Karen will be the fuck up. And this may be our second to last episode for the season. I'm not entirely sure on that. We may also see me in other things, but if you go and look at Beholder to No One, you'll see my schedule that I probably released today or yesterday. So you'll see if I'm in anything else, which I'm sure I will be, because the week of recording this, I have literally a game every single day. So just one thing being streamed is not enough.
Wow.
But keep being awesome. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, before you go, I just wanted to let you know that this episode was edited by Matt over at Walsh Animation. They are part of the Table Party podcast, and I wanted to give a little bit of a shout out to them, especially because Matt has been such a freaking lifesaver when it comes to editing the discussion episodes recently. So please listen to this ad for Table Party podcast and go check them out and make sure you give them some love. Thanks.
What makes Table Party different from other tabletop podcasts?
The music.
The setting.
The characters.
The gore.
A bunch of different games.
The refreshing coldness of ice cream.
The 300-foot-tall squid named Delilah.
The dice rolls.
The horrifying body horror.
The aroma.
The suffering of my players.
Dairy Queen blizzards.
The luxurious plush texture.
The free coupons.
Bad decisions.
And who can we expect?
I'm Kelsey.
I'm Matt.
I'm Gabe.
I'm Walsh.
I'm Chris.
Welcome to the Table Party.
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 Welcome to the Table Party.